Welcome to We're Reading Dirty Books. This is Kalina.
And this is Saylet.
And we have a special episode for you today. We're here with Abigail Owens.
Hi!
So for this episode, we read her new series, Fire's Edge. The first book is The Boss, and also the prequel, The Mate. And luckily, Abigail was kind enough to join us, and we're going to discuss. So
thanks so much for having me, guys.
Yay. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for reaching out. We are here in Austin, guys. It's unusual weather, I guess, for here. We like negative 2 degrees to come here. I'm in my flip-flops right now, so this is warm.
And this is freezing. For me. I'm here in like my thickest coat. I was like, I don't even know if the roads are drivable.
It was very interesting driving here. I was like, I wonder if anybody knows they could turn their defrost on.
Texans don't know how to drive. Most of us, like, they shut down schools for this weather.
I was wondering about that. On Thursday at home, if we're Denver Public Schools, my boys are in preschool, they closed school, but it was like -4 or -5 degrees or something, so they didn't know what kids
did. If
there's
a frozen hint of any ice on the road, they shut everything
down. So funny.
Yeah. But thank you so much, Abigail, for reaching out to us. Yeah. We were so excited to be here. We met Abigail at the Shameless 2018.
Yep.
And Abigail was very kind and reached out to us, and we are super, super excited. I am still totally fangirling, so I apologize.
Thanks.
I'm just like, this is so amazing. This is so awesome.
Oh, thank you. Well, I loved the name so much. I told you guys, but I loved the name so much that I was like, oh, I've got to talk to anybody who loves dirty books. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And on top of it all, we got to read some really awesome books.
Oh,
you know,
thanks.
We really like this series.
Oh,
so
good.
We've done some dragon series before, but I think we both agree these are our favorite dragons.
And I started this book. I have to start it before Kalina does. One, because I forget too quickly, and I'm a really slow reader.
Okay.
So I really took my time on it, and I said, Kalina, you're gonna. These are my favorite dragons. She's like, what? And I said, yep. These are my favorite dragons. So they're different than, obviously, from the other dragons that we've read before. But they're also, the storyline and how you created your characters are cookie cutter, which is amazing.
It's hard to do.
It's very hard to do. And we've read a lot of books, not a ton of books, but a lot where they follow this certain tropes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm having a lot of fun with these.
Good.
Well, maybe a little too much fun with these.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, that's not possible. All right, so what do we want to do?
So we're very unorganized, just so you know. we just kind of go
whatever order you want to
play any way we do.
Yeah.
So I guess we can, one of the first questions we do want to ask you is, and it's just going to be really silly, if you can be any paranormal character at all, what would you be?
Oh, character or creature?
Creature.
Either. Like any type,
character,
of
any type of paranormal.
So obviously I would say dragon shifters. But, you know, actually, when it comes to paranormal, I would love to be basically Dark Phoenix from the X-Men. With just super powerful, telepath, everything, essentially, is what she is.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really convenient to, like, not have to get out to do things. But also, I don't know, be able to, there's so much you can do with that particular character. It's almost one of those invincible characters where you have to be careful with it. I think that's why they cut her dark.
Yes.
Was because if that's a light character, then you've got somebody who is just like, there's no point in putting anybody against them. Like, nobody's going to, I don't know that the bad guys are ever going to win. And so I think that personally is what I would want to do. If you ask my kids, they'd want to fly.
Ooh.
Yeah. Dragons, of the shifters are probably my favorite, but I love all shifters. Anything where you can change into a creature that has just those kind of animalistic elements. And I'm not saying animalistic from like a, I don't know, like a weird sense. I'm saying from like a, just how powerful they are and how elegant they are and how just all the different things they can do, or the senses that they can tap into that we can't as humans. And it's, I think that's what's cool about paranormal, is tapping into all those things that we don't have the ability to do as humans.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely stepping into something majestic that other creatures can do besides us as mere humans mm-hmm. who can do. Mm-hmm.
They can fly. And breathe fire. And so like I could also, you know, get into like birds of prey. I could get into being a falcon, that kind of stuff, but they don't breathe fire.
No.
Right.
No.
So. mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We've had that question mm-hmm. in a previous episode or so. And I said I would want to fly too. So I'd probably want to be, I guess, more magical.
Okay.
In a sense, like a witch or something mm-hmm. like that. But I am all about flying. I think that would be cool. Which, I mean, could be dragons. I could fly as a dragon. So
dragon,
I think I can
yeah.
see that too.
So I was a competitive skydiver.
Oh, yes.
We share about that.
No, that's fine. Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of the flying for me comes in, is that I've had that experience as much as a human being can without mm-hmm. a plane around them. I mean, the plane gets you up there, but then you're on your own after that. And so that was one of the, I think, the best things I've ever done in my life, just as mm-hmm. and as an experience to have. And so being able to write it into
yeah.
scenes. There's a whole scene in The Boss when she's just yep. plummeting yes. through the air, and I could describe that because I felt it.
It so. Definitely came across in the book. You know, once we read that you had done skydiving, I was like, oh, well, that explains
that
the
yeah.
scene.
It clicked. As soon as we read that, I was just like, that's how she could explain
yeah.
that feeling. Like, how does she know? Is she jumping out of a tree? I just, yeah, it was just, that's
it's really well done.
So amazing.
Thank you. I have to be careful in those scenes, actually, because I'll get a little too technical with skydiving stuff. I could do contemporary as well, a contemporary that was a skydiving book, and like the whole first scene, people were like, it's all skydiving. And I was like, but that's cool part.
we actually brought this up too last night, because our partners are here, and my husband and Kalina's boyfriend's here, and we were talking about how you were a competitive skydiver, and they're like, what? Wait, what? And that's when their interest peaked.
Yeah, they were like ignoring us.
Yeah,
until we were talking about
it. She jumps out of flames.
Yeah, we were just like, whoa, that's
yeah.
so fucking amazing.
Oh, thank you.
It's so cool.
It's one of those things that's funny for me. I don't do it anymore, which is almost, that's actually sad. Like today, it's kind of like whatever, but on nice blue sky days, I'm like, oh, I could be falling through the air right now. But when people meet me, I don't look like your typical skydiver.
Sure.
At all. And there's not really a typical skydiver. What I found when I was doing it was that it was either me, which was broke college kids, or it was people who had enough money to pay for it. And
sure.
so it tended to be lawyers and,
wow,
you know, things like that. Or it was the really serious athletes. I was competitive, sort of in a professional way, but not at the level that some of those teams out there that do worlds, nationals, and that kind of thing. And those guys are just super serious, but they also tend to be athletes, those guys. So
yeah, sure.
It's kind of a mixed bag. It's not the, like, I don't know. I think a lot of people picture more like the skater.
Sure.
Oh, like X Games type.
Which it is, totally. Like, you
yeah.
get that,
sure.
you get that group. And a lot of folks that do X Games tend to cross over which different sports they do. But I don't look like any of that. I am totally your, like, goody-two-shoes. Like, so it's fun for me when I tell people that and you see their expressions just go, what? Like, they don't see that.
Yeah.
That's fun for me.
That was us. To a T, when we read that on your website. And then, yeah, it's just, I don't know what a skydiver looks like, but you wouldn't think that looking at your picture or anything like that. But part of what we do here, too, is try to, like our first interview we interviewed, she was a close friend of ours, but a strong woman in the community, or just anybody that would have an influence on readers, writers, on
mm-hmm.
young people, whatever. And so to be sitting here with you as an author that we enjoy reading, to also know that you've been a competitive skydiver as a woman. Like, I don't know if that's a woman dominant or a men dominant thing.
Very
like, I just.
Dominant. Or at least when I was men. Very.
It's badass. And that's so cool.
It is. And I think you can see that it influences your characters. Because
yeah.
the women, at least in the books that we just recently read, they have those hidden sides where, you know, like Maddie, the fire investigator from
mm-hmm.
from the mate, didn't seem like was so much tougher than I think in her initial appearance, her initial description of her was. So
yeah.
like that hidden, like unexpected
peace to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just human. I think every mm-hmm. person has something to them that people don't expect. You know, you can't just look at somebody and figure out exactly who they are. That's not possible, I don't think. And
mm-hmm.
so finding out those things about people is cool. It's what makes digging into character school. I'm very much a character writer. That's what I dig into. The plot almost comes secondary to me. So you can ask my editor. She has to be like, this is wrong, and this, you said this, and da da da. And I'm like, Heather, because I'm so much more into what's going on with in the characters' heads. Almost too much sometimes. Like, sometimes she'll be like, okay, we got to take this out. Like, she's thinking about it way too much. Okay.
Well, that's cool. Actually, that could bring us down to our next question. Where does your inspiration and stuff come from, whether it's the paranormal writing or the contemporary writing?
It comes from, golly, that's hard to describe, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny. It comes from all sorts of different places. With the Dragon Shifters, okay, so part of it is, like, I'll read a book or I'll particularly watch movies that get into the paranormal space in particular, and I feel like they could do the romance so much better. you're just, like, Star Wars. They just messed up Leon with these latest movies. That romance was something that, for women at least, I think you shouldn't have touched, and they touched it and messed it up. And so like Lord of the Rings, they just kind of tossed in some romance on the side. And actually, that's what Tolkien did when he was writing the books. He tossed the romance in on the side. And mm-hmm. I think you're missing a whole demographic of readers who would be like, so much more into the stories if you added that element. Not taking away from any of the cool parts, like the battles or the politics or the whatever else is going on in between, but add in, romance is a huge part of life. 50% of this planet are women, and we have to have romance in order to make babies. Like, come on, dudes. You know, it's not just, on the side. I feel really sad for the people, I said this earlier, really sad for the wives out there if that's how men are going to be.
Yeah.
Putting it is just the romance is on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it comes from, like, I liked this twist, but I want to take it and do this with it instead. Or I liked this, and I want to do this with it. Or I might be reading a book, and it's literally a mention of a character that they never do anything with again. And I'm like, that's a really cool character. What could you do with that character? I'm going to do something with that character. But then the more I write, the more it just... It's like, I could do this, or I don't know. It just kind of pops mm-hmm. into your head. The more I write, the more ideas I get.
Yeah.
And with series, I find that I can't tell you how many books I've started where I'm like, it's just going to be this book. This one, I'm not making a series. And halfway through the book, I'm like, I really love the brother. I can't. I've got to have the brother. I've got to have a story now. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think as you get into it more, all the characters start to spin out their own worlds. And you're like, I want to give him a story or her a story.
There's still characters out there that I've got written that I'm like,
Well, I can tell you there's a few characters in this in the boss, and I'm like, when is that book coming out? I need to know when that book is going to come out. Two in particular.
Okay.
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Riven and Keegan.
Oh my gosh.
I am in love with them, and I want to be with them.
those guys are my comic relief characters, mm-hmm. as you can tell. But also kind of they're my little kinky guys, because obviously for readers who haven't read it, they are two white dragon shifters, and it's all, there's white, red, blue, gold, green, and black, for the colors of the dragon shifters. So both of them are the two white ones on the team, and they do everything together, including women.
Yes.
But they're also just really goofy. Like, they finish each other's sentences, and they mess with everybody around them together in this kind of, they're really fun to write.
Mm-hmm.
I had always intended to have them at least have a story. I'm not sure yet if it's going to be a novella in between things or if it's going to be a full book. The tricky part with that, apparently, is that their story would actually have to go into the erotic space, because it would be a threesome style story.
Sure.
And the line that those books are in isn't erotic. And there's something to do with, like, you can't split the lines. Unfortunately, because that was going to be like, I was planning on it being a story in between book two and book three. And now it's like, okay, we're going to have to hold off and come back.
Okay.
But they're definitely, the plan is that they're going to be in there somewhere.
Well, let me know.
Yeah, I thought that was too, because my editor and I both were like, well, these characters definitely need their thing and their thing and their thing. But it's going to depend on how we can figure it out with the
With the publishers?
With the publishers. Mm-hmm.
That's really, okay. That's, I'm glad that you brought that up because we have read a couple, we've done a, maybe two episodes where the story that we read, we're like, where this is, we've read erotica. This mm-hmm. is definitely not like a paranormal, romance.
It's not a romance.
It's not a romance.
They crossed that line.
Yeah. I didn't know that was like an actual.
I didn't either.
like boundary. Of where you can get, that's one step over into
that's
erotica.
That's new for me. And so, which makes sense, though, because if you think about it, readers read certain lines at publishers. So, like, I started with Harlequin originally, mm-hmm. And I read primarily the Presents line of Harlequin, and I also got to the Harlequin Romance, which has changed names a couple times over the years, and I knew exactly what I was getting if I bought those books, what level of heat was going to be in it, okay. how many sex scenes were going to be in it or not, how sweet or not it was going to be, that kind of thing. I knew exactly what I was getting. And so publishers know that they've got to put some kind of boundary on those so that readers aren't surprised and ding them for, like, you've never had a threesome in this line. You know, why are you suddenly throwing it in? I would have read the erotic line if I was interested in a threesome. So it's a way to communicate that to readers without having to be explicit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they just know, like, picking up this line, what they're going to get.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't even think about that. We jump around so much, and we just, like, are randomly pulling books,
and
like,
I do too,
off lists.
I remember, like, when it was like, oh, wait, there's tons out there. Yeah. Let me just go get it all. And so, yeah.
So that is interesting.
That's very interesting.
But yeah, anybody else? So you've got Riven and Keegan. Anybody else?
I want to see Lindy's book.
Lindy. Mm-hmm. You can probably guess who she's going to end up with.
No.
No.
It gets more obvious in book two.
Okay. We gotta go to book two then.
Book two's coming out in April.
Oh, good. Oh. That's like right after this episode's gonna come out. That's so fantastic.
Oh,
we're gonna have to like
we're
when it comes out, we'll like
we'll
repost
have to remember
our
that
episodes.
At the end of this episode.
Yeah.
At the end of this recording. No, okay, I'm sorry. Now I'm getting too into what I read, and we need to move on from that. But I am going to be racking my brain thinking about who it is.
Well, I'm going to have to go back.
Yeah.
But no, I am interested in that, because I liked, I thought it was interesting to have, like, there are women dragon, but they're sterile. Because one of the other series, the series I started all paranormal romance with, the first one I ever read was Deborah Cook's Dragonfire series, mm-hmm. the first book in that. The Kiss of Fire, I think.
Fires. Nope. I don't know.
Kiss of Fire.
Fire's Edge is Abigail.
And in that world of dragons, they only have the one female dragon ever, the Wyvern, who is, above and separate from all of the male dragons.
Yeah.
So this is just a different, there occasionally are women dragon, female dragons born, but they are sterile. So they live a very different life than the men dragons and then the dragon mates that become.
Well,
and
you'll find,
right?
So there's going to be, there's a crossover series, and the first book of that's coming out in August. So this one is the Enforcers in the, what they call the colonies, so in the Americas. Mm-hmm. The crossover series is going to be called the Inferno Rising series, and that's going to be the Kings and the Clans.
Okay.
And as you get into Kings and Clans, you start getting into warrior women because they don't want to be at home being, anti-Lindy, that kind of thing,
right.
Which she didn't want either.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're going to have the ones that do want to be, they want to be moms, they want to be at home. And I think that reflects kind of women in general. There's those that do, those that don't. Everybody,
absolutely.
You get a little bit across from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm attempting to the best of my ability to try to reflect in a different way what our world is like.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I think that's great. I'm looking forward to it.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that type of, because we discuss that a lot in the different books that we read. It's the type of lives that these certain women lead, or that they've lived and they have to change now that this is happening. They're the fates, but they wanted this life and now they have to have this life, but of having those different.
Well, and it's so hard to balance that because if you can imagine being just a human woman walking along and then being told, like, hey, you are now a dragon breeding factory, like, come be with us. And it's like, oh, by the way, you're going to die if you pick the wrong guy. And it's like, we've struggled to have a balance there where, like, the guys also have kind of it's not quite an equal consequence. It's sort of an equal consequence in that they lose their souls if they pick the wrong girl. That becomes a much bigger thing as we go along. And across both series, the whole mating process itself is
changing. I thought so. It seemed like it in this book because it felt like
this is like, okay, let's kick it off and show you what it is now.
Yeah,
and let's
rip it. Kind of a bit reflecting, you know, societal changes that we see just happening around us, whereas kind of the old traditions of marriage and you know, understanding like the nuclear family is a little bit changing in society. And now there's a lot more options. Maybe it's not just the one path everyone is expected to walk.
Yes. Or in this case, used for political purposes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's as things go along, you'll find out that it's there have been a lot of like mates have disappeared because they were with the clan that they didn't want them to be with or things like that. And so, and you know, how is that being used for the wrong purposes? Something that's supposed to be sacred. And so that's one of the best things I find about paranormal is that you can explore what's going on in our world in a way that's almost safer because it's in a different world where I'm setting the rules and nobody has that emotional backlog and baggage that comes with it.
Yeah. No, I think that's why I like reading them.
Oh, yeah. 'Cause
it is... It speaks to society, but at one remove that it is safer. It doesn't create as many,
just an immediate
reactions. Yeah. Like knee-jerk reactions to things. You can go through some of these and have these conversations.
Oh, these are dragons. This wasn't,
Yeah.
And that's where we have to stop ourselves a lot of the times when we get into the books. We're like, we are reading fiction. We cannot. Sometimes we'll get into a book and we're just like, oh my God, but we don't have to get into any of that. But sorry, I lost my voice.
That's okay. No problem. So one thing about the book I wanted to bring up, because it's happened in a couple of other books, so I just wanted to get kind of an author's perspective on it. We don't agree on this topic, but it's good because it does mean that there's, you know,
there's
debate out there.
Discussion.
There's room for
otherwise
discussion.
Otherwise, it would just be us agreeing on everything.
Yeah, which is good. So after the mating process, once they've pushed the fire and are good mates that have no one's burned and everything.
Yeah, everybody's survived.
It seems like a link develops between them. And there is the, you know, feelings and emotions and thoughts are now translated between the two. And I struggle with those concepts because to me that's too much. I'm like, I do not need somebody reading my mind. Like we're already like apparently mated for life and now they know what my thoughts all the time. Like I don't like it very much. So sorry, but it's not just in these books. Other books have done it too. So it is a theme that comes up and I just kind of wanted to know why you would give that to your character. So why you, what do you see in it?
I agree with both of you, believe it or not. I like it there because to me, these are supposed to be soulmates. And for humans, we talk about having soulmates, but there's no proof to it. There's no, like, there's soulmates who thought that they were soulmates who go their separate ways and get divorced or, you know, can't, like, make it through a relationship or whatever. Sometimes so long into a relationship that tearing it apart is painful for more than just them. And wouldn't it be nice to have that confirmation that, you know, the feelings that you're having are real? I think that's a wouldn't it be nice from a human perspective. And so I get to write it into like a thing where it's like, yeah, you made the right choice and guess what? You're with them for life and it's awesome. Where I have to walk a fine line, where I try to walk a fine line, is that it can be invasive and I don't want them to be able to just read your thoughts and be like, everything you think is here. Because sometimes the thing I think, like even about my own husband, he does not want to be in my head that moment. And that could hurt our relationship pretty seriously. And sometimes, right? Because I'm in a mood and he's in a mood and we're just at it. And so you don't need to be in my head at that moment.
Are not necessarily controllable. Like you just like will have a thought. You don't say it because we created filters
for you or whatever it is, exactly.
And stuff. But
and
so
mine tend to be a little more sarcastic at me. So I wouldn't want them completely in my head. So I'm trying not to have it where they can read minds exactly. Mm-hmm. It's more of a, they can feel a connection. It's almost like there's a, I love the way in Jane Eyre, and I actually have put this into a couple books because I just love the imagery of it where he talks about a string that's tied to his heart and tied to a similar spot in her and that if she went too far away or pulled it out, he would just take to bleeding internally. It's that. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a game of the telephone, but with the string in the hand. You know what I mean? So it's not a, everything comes through clearly. It's a, they can feel that that tension on that string, and they can send things. And that actually can become both detrimental but also helpful in situations like, she's been kidnapped. Where are you? Right. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it. I see it.
Yeah, so, yeah. But I do try to walk that fine line, because I'm kind of with you on the...
Like, a little bit like, I have something. Yeah. That's me, and, you know.
And mine isn't too different.
The reason
you're as far... Kidding. Yeah, you know, the way I agree with it is, or that I'm okay with it, is that emotional part of it. Not so much as the blocking part of it, or the reading of minds and stuff. If I ever try to read my husband's mind...
They're so connected that they have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you get that when they finally make that connection, when Finn and Delaney do, they say to each other, oh, you really do love me.
Yeah.
Because it's a feeling more so than just, I love you, than they're saying it to each other. I would be completely confused if I ever was in my husband's brain all the time. He is very deep. He's got a lot of circuses going on in his head. And a lot of how I feel comes out on this podcast, and sometimes secrets that I haven't even told him. I'm like, oh my God, I've never talked about this before. Yet. He'll hear it on here, and because he listens to us sometimes, and he's like, wait a minute, hold on. But yeah, so I'm in agreement. And the great thing about these dragons is that you can cut it off.
Yeah. You know, or things can get in the way. It's almost like a radio signal where you get out of sync.
Okay.
And that can be a signal to them that something's going wrong, or something. Why can't I hear you? Or why can't I feel you? What's going on? Yeah.
And they're all, and only in dragon form can they communicate like that, right?
Maybe.
Oh, nice. You gotta read it, guys.
Well, yeah, what's really funny to me is that you guys have read the prequel and the first story. Mm-hmm. I've now written second stories coming out of this series in April. The first story of the second series is coming out in August. I've already written the second book of the second series. I'm writing the third book of this series. So, like, I'm way ahead at this point in my head. So I'm like, wait, what? What can I not say yet?
That's really cool that you bring that up, because one of the questions I had for you is, as a mom and as a wife, I'm assuming you do this full time, so you can balance that time. And how do you find, one, the energy? You know, you told us where your inspiration and everything comes from, but you're also writing contemporary romance and stuff too. Are you at all, like, what, how do you do it? How do you do it?
You know, I think part of it is that I have ADD and I don't sit still well. I really don't sit still well. So I go pretty much from the second I get up until the second I collapse into bed. Even on weekends, it's hard for my husband to be like, you need to turn it off for a minute and just sit. Like, you need to just sit. Believe it or not, when I started doing this, I was working for a really large technology company, and I was doing 60 hours a week there.
Wow.
And I was getting my MBA, and my kids were 2 and 4 years old, and I thought, this would be a great time to write and self-publish my first book.
Oh my goodness.
And I did it at that time because it was like my escape time. That was my relaxing time. It wasn't, to me, this isn't the writing part of the books is not a job. The marketing part is a
sure
job, but the writing them is not, that's my downtime. So now that I'm doing it full time, it's my downtime all day. It's great. Now I also run my Authors on a Dime business, which helps other authors, mostly self-published, but any kind of authors, with everything from, you know, the teasers and images that you put on posts and that kind of stuff, to formatting, to editing, to book covers, to what have you, helping get organized. I would say that's the other thing that helps me is that, so I give classes on being organized.
That's awesome. That is so cool.
And so I use all those tips. And believe me, I'm not organized all the time. I've just, January exploded on me, where I had edits come in so much in December and in January, more than I was expecting in my timeline of things, that now I'm like, okay, now I've got to write about double the amount of words a day in order to get this book done by deadline. And so, it doesn't always work out.
So you are given a specific amount of time that you have to get a certain book or idea or whatever out?
I'm given a deadline, each book. So, not on the self-publishing side, so I'm what I call a hybrid author. I do both self-published and traditional published.
Okay.
So on the self-publishing, it's a lot easier because I can be like, all right, I can just do whatever I wanted. Sure. Except that I've often shared dates or things with readers and they're expecting it and I don't want to disappoint them. But that does tend to be a little bit more flexible. The publishing schedule is not as flexible. I still have long periods of time. So like when they contracted my books, they contracted 4 for this series and 4 for the Inferno Rising series. And they gave me dates at that time.
Okay.
When I had to get certain books done. And it's that one's particularly funky because the Inferno Rising series, this one is ebook primarily.
Mm-hmm.
We do have print books, but they're print on demand. So you just buy them through Amazon. The Inferno Rising series is mass market paperback, which means it's going to be in stores. The lead time on that is so much longer. I have to get the completed manuscript into my editor to get going on the editing process a year before the book comes out, at least. Whereas with the ebooks, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And because the print books are longer, even though they're coming out second, kind of in the alternating space, mm-hmm. I'm writing them first. So I am writing these in backwards order.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
That's amazing.
That is. That actually kind of goes into one of the questions I had. As a podcast, we're a, you know, Audible or audio format.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the books we do are Audible. They're on, what's the word?
MP3s.
They're on our what's the word?
What is
I've
the word?
Never seen never you mind. Have a brain fart before. It's
doesn't matter.
Usually it's me like, I don't remember. I don't know anything.
Audiobooks. That's just a very simple word that I was trying to listen. And I kept saying Audible, which is the company.
Yeah.
Audiobooks.
Gotcha.
And so since this is mostly ebooks,
mm-hmm.
there aren't audio for this. But for the mass market ones, is there talk about doing audio?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
I don't know if that's in the
it might not.
Yeah.
I mean, understandable.
It'd be really cool, but yeah.
It's nice to always get back into a book where we have to sit down and read. Thank you so much for the copy. I love that. So when we go back and read it, I'm going to do that. Because I also want to show to my boys that it's okay to sit on your phone if you're actually doing something.
Yeah.
So like, if I'm on my phone, I'm reading, but I don't want them to think that I'm just on there fucking around.
I have to tell my kids that on my computer. They'll be like, you're still working, Mom. And I'm like, no, I'm just reading a book right now.
Yeah.
I'm not working, I swear.
Yeah. So it's nice to be able to sit down and actually read but obviously for convenience and availability and everything like that, as far as just sitting and listening to a book is good because then we're doing it in our car and or while we're cleaning the house or something like that. So
I do the same thing. I'll put it on while I'm writing, actually.
Really?
No.
Not less so when I'm writing. I'm getting to a point now where I used to be able to write in front of my TV and have things going and the kids are coming in and out and I'll be fine, and now I can't do that as much.
Yeah.
That's
impressive.
But anytime I'm doing all of my Authors on a Dime stuff, which tends to be more the graphics work.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I listen to them at work because all my job is all like numbers.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to have words in my head because I'm doing
numbers,
you know, so they're not conflicting with each other and they don't cross over.
My job at the tech company was all numbers and I would do the same thing.
We like to, you know, we do a lot of audiobooks, but we do like to change it up because it is different how you interact with a book.
It is, yeah.
And like what you take away
or
from
what
it.
You're picturing.
What you picture.
Particularly, I find with like the various audiobooks that we do lots of car trips. So we do a lot of audiobooks during car trips. And the ones that really get me are either where they're having to display some kind of emotion that's like screaming.
Yes.
And be like, ha! And I'm like, that's not a scream. That's like a, what is that?
That's
not a scream. Or if it's a male narrator and he's doing a female voice and I'm like, oh, dude, don't.
Oh, yeah,
some
we've come across
are
plenty
good.
Of those.
Yeah.
We're like, what are you doing?
Well, that's not how women ever speak, but okay.
Yeah. No, there's challenges to be had with that.
Yeah. We try to address some of that, especially if it comes off real bad. And we're like, ooh.
Or an accent, like they're trying to do a southern accent.
Yes.
Like,
That's so awesome. You guys heard it here. We're not the only ones who think that way.
Some are fantastic, don't
you? Oh, yeah.
Some are like the best
yes.
actors I've heard voices for, and I'm like, I'd really like to meet that person and see what they look like in real life. But some, it's just like, wow.
Or sometimes I think they don't match the genre. I think that's what I find with some of the romance ones where, you know, I'm sure he would do great at action. Or, you know, like.
Not so much in the romance.
But
space.
His voice is just not quite right for this book. It's not coming off well, you know. So I think that's a line that, you know, authors and publishers or whatever need to kind of work on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you're not everyone suited for every genre of book. So.
Well, sometimes it's, I believe, from one of the author friends of mine that have done audio, it's who you can afford, yeah. who's available, who's on the list that they give you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting
I wondered how that worked, and if, like, I know sometimes...
From what I understand, they give you a list. Or I know because at conventions, audio voiceover folks will come and give me their cards and be like, hey, if you want to do audio, I do, you know. And so I find that interesting that you can request. But even then, I think, especially if you're going through your publisher, they give you a list. And they're like, this is who we're doing it through.
Okay.
These are the people that we can afford. Go listen to them. Figure out which one you like best.
Would you ever be interested in doing your own? Do you think you could do it?
No way. I would feel... I am... Acting is definitely not my thing. It never was. Oh, it would be horrible.
When we first started recording this and playing it back and listening to it, and then when I actually started learning how to do the editing part mm-hmm. of it, I'm like, wow.
That's what
I
sound like?
Totally. And I'm like, thank God for editing, because sometimes we just, like, yeah, it just doesn't flow as good, but I think it would be kind of fun to do, like, you'd have to be good at it, but to do a narration or something.
Well, and the other problem with doing my own books, I'm sure that this would happen. I'd be reading along, and I'd be like, oh, why did I write that? That's I need to edit this, Heather.
I think about that all the time, and I'm like, why did I say that?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was I in my head when that paper? It's terrible.
That could be hard. There's a podcast, Lore, Aaron Mankey does, and he also writes. Well, I don't think he does anymore. I think he's gotten so much into lore that he's not writing anymore, but he used to write, and he does his own podcast, but he will not read his books. He's like, no, podcasting is one thing. It's just talking, you know?
Yeah.
But he's like, narrating a book, you have to have a skill set.
Yes,
so he
does,
yeah. So his books are narrated by, you know, people who do that, voice actors. So
I might even have to edit on the fly and be like, I'm just gonna skip that
part. Yeah. I know, right? Just start freestyling.
Yep.
So you write both contemporary and romance. Obviously, you have more romance books out there. Do you enjoy one more than the other, or?
I actually like them about the same. I started out reading, believe it or not contemporary or paranormal, I started out reading Regencies.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom was really into Regency romance and had a whole bookshelf. And when I was about 12, I discovered that bookshelf. And she went through and wrote the age that I was allowed to read each one on the inside cover, which at that time was a lot more books than it would be today. Because up until about the mid-90s, I'd say, there really was still not a lot of open-door sex on the page. And it was a lot of... Either there wasn't sex at all, or it was closed door and just kind of like, and they kissed and they closed the door, And so I started out with the Regencies, then went to a used bookstore looking for more Regencies because my mom wasn't buying them fast enough. And discovered a whole stack, I don't know, probably about 30 books of these old 70s and 60s Harlequins. Thin little, and I still have all of them, and some of them I've had to go buy like more because I read the covers off of them.
Nice.
Just because I loved them so much, and that's what got me started in the contemporary space. So I was doing contemporary for a long time. I didn't know that there was paranormal romance, believe it or not, until Twilight.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those things where, like, I was very much into the fantasy and sci-fi and all of that side of things. So I'd read Lord of the Rings and every Star Wars book I could get my hands on and various different other series in the, like, anything by Michael Crichton, anything by, you know, just loved it all. And so I loved it, but obviously all of that was missing romance. All of it was missing romance. And so, come on, man. Figure it out. But I hadn't found anything that actually combined the two, and then read Twilight, and so I happened to be, after I finished the books, which I don't care what you say about them now, you know, Sparkly Vampires or not, I loved those books. I loved them. I finished them and hopped on Amazon and was just looking for anything else that was like Twilight. I discovered an indie author, Heather Killog Walden, who wrote Shifters and read her first Shifter book and loved it, devoured everything she had. And then from there, I discovered Rebecca Zanetti and devoured everything she had. And, you know, it kind of went on from there, just finding more and more that I loved. And it was just an introduction. Like, Amazon, I've got to say, has been a huge thing because you don't go just into, I still love bookstores. I love the smell of bookstores. I love to be able to sit in there and just, like, tool through the books. But the nice thing about Amazon is that you've got that search capability where you can be like, I'm specifically looking for this. And you can find, you know, all the good things that go with that. And... So back to your question. Which I love them both. So because I started with contemporary, I have kind of those are, it's like a brain break. It's like, okay, I can't think of any more ways to have a dragon
spew
fire. I need to step away from dragons for a minute and write cowboys because they're sexy. Or I've got some that are romantic comedies, you know, and those are actually, I like to read them a ton. Those are the hardest for me to write.
Oh, yeah?
My natural sense of humor, I think I mentioned, is a little on the mean, sarcastic side.
Hey.
And so...
Welcome to us.
That's terrible.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And so it doesn't translate as well, mean, sarcastic, on the page.
Sure.
And so finding something that isn't... My other side of my sense of humor tends to be, like, really bad puns, which also doesn't...
I love that pun.
And so I actually have to be very deliberate about, okay, what would be funny here that's not just slapstick and trying to be witty? Nora Ephron, everything that she did in movies, and, you know, Sleepless in Seattle, she did those. She did the When Harry Met Sally and that kind of stuff. That kind of really witty... Mm-hmm. Humor is that's hard to do.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to try to do. So I have a lot of fun with all of them. And then you get the pure imagination of the paranormals, and then I can just go play with that. It's like playing.
Those seem like they would be a lot more flexible because you don't have to stay in such a defined realm.
You are not in rigid rules.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You can make them whatever fucking way you want to make them.
Yeah, and nobody gets to argue with you, but they still try. They do.
I'm sure they do.
What's even funnier, the funniest part to me is that most of the arguments I've had to me, or even just in comments like in reviews where they're like, this isn't possible, usually are about something that I based on an experience of my own.
Sure.
Which is hilarious to me. So, for instance, in the King's books that are coming out, there are four sisters involved in that book. Mm-hmm. And all of them have different colored hair and eyes.
Mm.
All four of them. And I cannot tell you how many people are trying to argue with me that that's just not possible. They're sisters. They have to look alike. And to which I respond, my dad is one of five, and none of the five have the same colored hair or eyes. Not one. And they all look very much alike. They clearly mm-hmm. came from the same parents, but they have completely different coloring, all five of them. You want to argue with me about this? Really?
Personal experiences.
Yes. Going straight into it. Or people who will argue with the skydiving scenes where they're like, you can't, you know, whatever in skydiving. And I'll be like, dude. Got a couple hundred jumps under my belt. Like, seriously? You really want to argue with me on that one? Yeah. So it cracks me up when people are going to decide based on their personal experiences. And it's always based on, like, nobody in my life would do that. And it's like, have you talked to every single person in your life? That's how they're going to react?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this is a book.
Maybe clearly they would if I was in my head. I would react that way, or I wouldn't have put it on the page.
I think that's really important to think about when you're reading books, especially books like this. It's nothing, this stuff is not always going to make sense, and you have to jump into these characters, and you have to jump into the storyline and expect the unexpected, because it's just... That's why they're so great. It's because you have to...
The suspense and belief
exactly. And it's just like, this stuff is so far-fetched and so great.
It's pure entertainment.
Exactly. Yeah. To just dive into something.
Let yourself be entertained.
Just do that. Don't block yourself with silly questions like, nope, that shit will never happen in real life. Okay, maybe not, but this is not real life.
Yeah. Well, and it's why I can't write historical. Like I said, I started with the Regencies, right? Mm-hmm. I love historical romance. Love it. I cannot write it because... the amount of research and detail that goes into it. So if somebody doesn't argue with me that that particular style button wasn't on that particular style dress in the year 1621, I don't want to go into the nitty gritty like that. I'm sorry.
No.
Well, please keep doing what you're doing with how you've done the box, because it's just been amazing and
Thank
it's been
you.
Really great. Yeah.
I had so much fun writing those books.
I can't wait.
No, yeah. I'm so excited for April. To get the next one, because this was a fun book. We really enjoyed
it.
So, special treat for us. Not for you guys till April.
Let me see. They're still doing a few things with it, but that's what it's gonna look like.
Oh my god.
Don't you just wanna just pet?
Okay, so now I have a question stemming from this. Do you get a choice in models or
nope? They send it to me and they say, what do you like, what do you not like?
Okay.
I have worked with a couple different publishers. I've had publishers that send it to me and they say, you have no input on this whatsoever, make sure everything's spelled right.
Wow.
And then there's some publishers, as you go along, who will ask, like, this one, for the most part, they'll be like, okay, especially now that we've established what the book covers look like, mm-hmm. it's finding the right model. And so I'll give input into that. I'll be like, well, you know, for book two, it's Aiden, and he's got the fun things with these dragons for me has been that, while each of the different clans of dragons are based in different areas of the world and tend to be more in that ethnic space, mm-hmm. because you're mixing in humans from all over the world, sure. you get a mix of ethnicities. And so I'm trying to make it so that in these worlds, the clans themselves are really anti-clan. So it's like, I'm all about the green clan, and the blue clan over there sucks. Like, it's that kind of stuff. So that's the tension. It's not the human ethnicity that's the tension, but it means I get to kind of put in a really cool mix of folks. And so he is more Lebanese. His mother was Lebanese. Mm-hmm. And so I based it on one of the actors on a recent show called The Brave, who I just thought was gorgeous. And so that's who I based it on. And so I was like, I want it to look like that guy. It's really hard for them to be like, yeah, we're going to go find one that looks just like that guy. Sure. So they got it as close as they could. But yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah, because you want it to kind of look like, you see the cover first. Obviously, you don't want to judge it, but it is what it is. And so that you look at them and be like, that's not who I have, in, my head. Have in my head. Yeah. About it. So.
Well, and so far, these covers are I love they the really covers than they do. I just did the cover reveal for the first book in the Infernal Rising one, and it is him. It is him.
Yes.
And this one definitely looks like Aiden in my head. They're so pretty. My request when they were doing them, I was like, every Dragon Shifter book has dude without shirt, which you have to have for these, because mm-hmm. that's just what you gotta have. Mm-hmm. But with like a dragon flying around in the background, every single one. And so I was like, let's try to bring in the dragon in a different way. And so these, they bring it in with the fire behind mm-hmm. him is shaped mm-hmm. like a dragon. And I like that they went with something different.
Yes, not just a picture of an exact dragon, but kind of like that mm-hmm. feeling. It's that like fire evokes the dragon.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you want to pull us in as readers to actually know what we're going to be reading about. Like
Dragon Shifters. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Why they put wolves and cougars and things like that on book covers. It's right. So you know what kind of shifter.
Exactly. Because
you wouldn't know.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, I mean, if you don't want to read about dragons and the there's no dragon on there, all of a sudden you're reading about dragons, you're going to be really sad.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully you won't be, because the book's good. you'll be like, fine, I do want to read about dragons.
Yeah. I really loved how, so obviously we read the prequel, The Mate. I'm sorry, I have really bad memory.
If you ask me for something specific, I'll be like, oh, I'm under pressure here, my brain has shut down, I can't do it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm always forgetful, Kalina's like, that one. You wrote The Mate, and then you wrote The Boss, and then there are scenes, so you get the scenes from the first, from the prequel, and then you're reading The Boss, and they're just like, stuck there. And
they match up.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
I've never seen writing like that before.
That was so hard to do.
I bet it was.
And partly because I wrote The Mate first. Okay, so I had already written The Rogue King, which is the book one in the Inferno Rising. And so I knew that was that book. But then we were like, okay, let's do these Enforcers, who originally was going to be completely separate series that had nothing to do with the King series. But we liked the King book so much that we were like, we got to combine these. They're Dragon Shifters. We got to put them together. Mm-hmm. And how do we make this world work for the Enforcers? And so it was like, all right, I'll do the prequel and that'll set the rules. So I set all the rules and then started working on The Boss, and none of the rules worked. So I had to finish The Boss and go back and fix The Mate to fix to the rules that I changed midway through the writing. So that was kind of fun. But when I was writing The Mate, it occurred to me that I was like, I need this to be at the same time because of the references he's got.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a little bit of that in the crossover between the series, because everything is really happening
mm-hmm. about the same time.
Oh,
yeah.
In fact, I'm not getting out of, I'm trying to think. I'm writing the third book, and it comes between book one and book two. And that's all within the same, 3-month period, all three of those books.
Okay. Wow. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that puzzle piecing was just so, it was genius. I was like, this is so amazing.
Well, the other tricky part with that, and I didn't do it so well in another series that I self-published, where I had both books be concurrent like that, is that it's very easy to take what I've already written and put it in this one and just leave it. Mm-hmm. And then my editor would come along and be like, no, it's not exactly the same, or people are going to complain, which they do on that other series.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's only little small chunks, but yeah, so I have to make sure I go through and make it very much from the other perspective.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I kept asking Colin, I was like, when are you going to finish it? We got to fucking talk about this. This is great. Yeah. Good thing it only took you 2 days. It took me forever, but.
I read fast and I procrastinate. Because I want to have them be fresh, you
yes,
know?
Because
if I finish it, then I'm on to my next book.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do a podcast and I'm like, oh.
Oh, wait.
Which one did I just
watch? There was a moment in our time where we had to do that. Something had happened with our scheduling and I ended up reading the wrong book.
Oh, no.
We got really confused.
We got really confused. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm not going to know what we're talking about.
So, yeah. That happens. But, yeah, I finished it on time.
Yes. You did great. You did great.
So, do we want to do our kiss and tell?
Sure.
All right.
This is
one of our favorite segments.
All right.
Where we kind of tie in some of these ideas and thoughts and scenes from these books to personal lives and
sure.
things that kind of maybe resonated with us or not. So this from this book, we wanted to take the first scene between Delaney and Finn, where she's just like, I need to not think. I need to not, like, make decisions or anything. You're the boss. You be the boss in bed. So our kind of, like, question or kiss and tell was, like, what's more you? Are you more the boss or are you more the Delaney of that particular... Or maybe does it change depending on your mood or something? So that's kind of our kiss and tell topic for today.
So personally for me, it's a little bit of both. I think that's pretty typical. Now, of course, I've been married now for 14 years, so, you know, same guy for a really long time, which means you got to mix it up somehow.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's a little bit of both. Just depends on what we're in the mood for and how that goes. I will say that as a reader, and what's funny is that this is so against, like, the whole Me Too movement and everything like that. I really like it when the guy's in charge in the bedroom on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly with my paranormals, because they have to be alpha males. They have to be. And I don't want them to be asshole alpha males.
Thank you.
What I mean? I think you've pointed it out. I like strong women. I like women who know their minds, who aren't going to wait around for the guy to save them, who are going to try to do something proactive in their life and not just be like, oh, this is happening to me. What's going on? Which, unfortunately, with these, I kind of have to have them a little bit like, what's happening? Because they're human women that are being introduced into, hey, now you're a dragon shifter, sort of. as soon as you figure out who to mate. And so making sure that they're strong is important to me, but I like the guys that are strong in bed that are also, it's like, it's an odd combination. It's what you get a lot with the really well-written erotic books. It's that they know what a woman wants, and what's going on in the bedroom while they're in charge is also so much about what the woman is experiencing that it makes it fantastic for both of them. And I don't think that that happens enough in real life.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's, like you said, like sometimes we try to tie in, you know, social issues and Me Too movement or anything that's kind of going on. And sometimes I've had conversations with friends about these books and they feel like that's conflicting because they're just like, well, these books don't feel very feminine or
Me Too-ish.
Yes, yeah. Me Too-ish. Feminist or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just think, I don't think that's true, because I think that while some of these scenes, it's some of the best scenes do have that male dominance, it's because they're listening to the women.
Yes.
And they're, you know, she told him what
she
wanted.
Paying attention.
She's like, this is what I want.
It's not
now,
just,
yeah.
I have a heart on, let me stick it in you.
He didn't, like, drag her down the hall by her hair and, like, make it happen.
It's not that.
No.
It's still that partnership is there. And I think that's part of what makes erotic sexy, like I said, when it's done well. It's that there is that give and take of, I want you to make me feel good, and I trust you to actually have paid enough attention to do that if you're in charge.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the consent.
Yep.
And like you just said, you're not making these guys be, these alpha males be complete assholes.
Yeah.
Because that can be taken way, they can way misconstrue that and take it a different way and just make it horrible.
Well, the whole point is that they're mates. These are destined mates. Mm-hmm. He wants to do whatever is A, best, and B, feels good to her. Like, he's not going to want to be like, well, that was good for me. See ya. Like,
right. And these are romance novels. Yeah. The romance is there. The love is there.
Yes. Which is, that's critical for me. And I think where a lot of the Me Too comes in, and it's important to note this, is that in real life, there's a lot of instances where the guys have either no clue what's going on with the woman's body, because let's be honest, girls, it's complicated body. Mm-hmm. Half the time, I don't know what gets me going. Like, it worked yesterday. Why is this not working today? So how do we expect a man without the equipment to figure that crap out?
Right,
but
right.
There's also those guys out there that do the, all right, I'm done, see ya, and they move on. And we all have those experiences. I think or known somebody has had those experiences at least, at the very least. And so that trust in real life is not there, which maybe makes it hard for people to have it on the page.
Right. Or to be able to understand it when it is right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, the trust that is in these characters is not, I don't think it's as easily found in the in the real world. So I think that's where sometimes, like, the scenes aren't super realistic. I mean, they're great, and I'd love for them to be a little bit more realistic. But I think we can get to that. I think especially if more people took the time to read these books.
And they took the time
like, and
to
share
it.
Them and, like, make it, like, this there's a lot to be offered here.
And write it the way that it's been written in The Boss or in books like this. Because there are, we have come across a couple books where it hasn't been written that way. Where we're just like, dude, this, I mean, we've come across some books where we're just like, that's borderline rape, but that's, it's just, it's very aggressive, it's overly masculine, or just something that's just real bad and it just rubbed us the wrong way. And we address it when after we've read those books. So it, you know, messages that you have put in all of your love scenes, which were fucking amazing, and all of it, they were so good. These are good messages and learning lessons that if people read these books, they could then take it home. I mean, and even men out there, if you guys want to read, don't be embarrassed. Read it.
Yeah.
Learn something. The only thing you're not going to be able to do is shift into a dragon.
Yeah.
Like, everything else
you can do.
There's right there for you.
Right there for you. I have said, and in fact, I was saying this earlier before we were kind of online here, was that I can't tell you how many men will say, oh, you write romance? I open the book, to, you know, to write to the sex scene, and oh my gosh. And I'd be like, if that's how you treat sex with your wife, you just go straight to the thing, you know, you just roll over in bed and grab a boob and let's go, honey.
Yeah.
What the heck? I feel sorry for your wife. Like, you didn't read the lead up. And that's, to me, the best thing about romance is the hope that is in there. It's the hope that those, that romantic relationships like that are that strong, that there is that connection, that there is that partnership that goes on between two people. It's also, I think, I love to write as well the kind of the brotherhood of things or the sisterhood of things, and it's those connections and relationships between people, and there's a happy at the end of the ever after. And so that's what I love about romance the most, which is why they really fucked up Star Wars.
I'm
a huge Star Wars fan, and what the hell? There was such a better way to do that. But so if men can't see that's out there, that's why I think we need the movements like the Me Too. I think that's why there's a disconnect in how we communicate. Mm-hmm. And so
and here
there has to be protection for women, and absolutely consent, and absolutely the strength of women, I think, showing that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But show the hope, show the romance, show that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That was well said.
Thanks.
And it's well portrayed in these books.
I tried. It is a fine line to walk. I'll write scenes and come back and be like, whoa, okay, too asshole. Or too emasculated. Like, oh, okay, she's totally in charge here. And he is now, like, totally beta and blah. Like, and there's moments when I think men need to step back. And I try to make moments in the books where men need to step back. And I think there's moments when women need to step back. It's that balance of not the sex of what's going on here. It's the who's the best person to deal with this what's going on right here. Or do we need to deal with it together or apart or whatever?
Well, it's making them equal.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, the historical trend of women are not.
Same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is really putting them, I mean, Delaney has a knife and stabs a dragon.
It falls through.
Like, she saves
her. Fuck her doing that. Yeah.
Like, without that.
I'd rather
that,
die on the ground.
Yes.
Thank
absolutely.
You. You're not taking me anywhere.
No. Yeah. Not yeah. letting this happen to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Instead, I will take my own path. I have faith and trust that Finn's going to be there for me. But if not, this is my choice. You
yep.
know? And she saves herself
she
right
there.
She
created her own destiny there.
Well, that honestly comes from a combination of my parents. My mom was, she is a very, women can do anything kind of mom. So she always was,
wonderful.
Super smart. Just, you know, she could do anything, but she was best mom. Love you, mom. And she went to Cornell. She had like perfect SAT scores, wow. Brilliant woman, decided to be a teacher. And she was like, oh, I always loved it when my students would be like, why did you decide to be just a teacher? And it's like, dude, a woman can be anything she wants. If she wants to be a mom, fantastic.
Yeah.
If she wants to be the president of the world, be the president of the world, fantastic. Be whatever you want. And so I got that from my mom. From my dad, I got the nobody will ever take advantage of my daughter. If you're out, I run a lot. That's my exercise. And he was like, if you're out running and somebody stops and they want to take you, I don't care if they have a gun in your face, you run, you don't go with them, you don't, you know, like he would teach me those things. And so it's
mm-hmm.
like, no, you don't go with, you fight,
right?
That's what I got from my dad.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. This and your characters.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. That's why we're all about the strong women and the heroines and the women that can keep their own agency and stuff. So it's
much harder, honestly, to write heroines that are, for me at least, that can be both the strong and the soft. That's harder to get on the page in a way where readers aren't like, where's the feisty? Because you can't have every woman on the planet's not feisty.
Right.
And a lot of women do their fighting from a more quiet direction.
Yeah.
And so how do you show that in a way where it's like, this person is still strong and yet quiet? I'm actually very much a natural introvert. Hugely a natural
yeah.
introvert. And
yeah.
so, like, you put me in a room full of people and I'm just like, don't make me talk
hey,
to all these people. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It is. I would rather be in my book. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And so being able to address things from both a quiet place of strength, I think, that's so hard to get on page.
Sure.
There's a couple of heroines I've tried it with, and I don't know that I've succeeded that well.
Well, you did fucking fantastic with these ones, with Delaney and both Maddie. They were great. We are, our highest recommendation is for everybody to pick up these books, because they were just so good. And I'm not just saying that because, like, you're literally sitting here, but I read, I'll show you the text messages if you would.
Yes.
I was like, Kalina, these are my favorite dragons, and we've read four dragons before, three or four
yeah.
before this, and she's like, oh my god. I was like, get reading this
which
book.
Crazy,
we
yeah.
need to fucking talk about what's happening here. This has been so great.
Thank
this
you.
Has been so great. I've got like one or two questions left. They're
pretty
real
much
quick.
Right.
Yeah. And then we'll open up to you if you have any questions for us, or if you have anything you want to pitch, please feel free. Do you have any recommendations of authors, particularly maybe male authors, or books or something that maybe have inspired you, or do you think would work for what we're doing here? Or
so, gosh, now you're going to put me under pressure. I'm going to make my brain, because my brain is now shut down. What? I have to think of it. And I read across the board tons of different stuff, and it tends to be names that you've heard before. So in the paranormal space, honestly, in romance, it's harder for me to think of men, mostly because a lot of the men who write in romance write under female pen names.
Okay.
So I wouldn't even be able to tell you frequently
okay.
if it's a man or not. But my favorite in the paranormal space tend to be, like, Rebecca Zanetti is, hands down, I think, one of my favorite paranormal authors. She's just got, oh, her Dark Enforcers are fantastic. And I also love Heather Kellogg Walden, who got me really into it after I discovered her following Twilight. I love Alyssa Day. She's got some of the best humor out there. And she has the most unique perspectives on characters. Like, the ideas that she comes up with are just fantastic. But then I read, golly, across the board. Lucy Monroe tends to be one of my favorites. She does both paranormal and contemporary. I started with her on contemporaries, but I love both. She's fantastic. And then you get me into things like, some of my favorite books were like Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic book. Just the whole setup of it, and all, I just couldn't put that book down. But I also loved Unbroken by Laura Hildenbrand, which is about the Louise Zamperini story that Angelina Jolie made into a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She watered that down. Mm-hmm. Read the book. Read the book. It's so good. It's just so good. It's a fascinating journey. I was a history minor, so, like, I love anything that has to get into history, or I just like stories of people.
Sure.
I like that, so.
Okay.
Those tend to be my favorites.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you have any?
No.
Anything?
I don't. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. Well, cool. Do you have any questions for us, or?
How'd you get started in the podcasting world?
You know, so we've been friends for quite a while.
Since high school.
Since high school. Aww.
20 years.
I know. Oh. 20 years.
It's crazy.
And she's always been a big lover of books, and I read the occasional book, but I love writing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an inspiring writer.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I don't know, we just got into this thing where we were just sharing the different books we're reading.
So I've been into podcasts for a long time. I love listening to them. And then some random day, I gave you my, Audible, but I gave you my Audible account. Because I've been with Audible since they started, and I just immediately got into audiobooks. And since I spend so much money on them, I have no problem sharing them with my friend. I'm just like, here. You were going on a trip or something.
Yeah.
I was like, here, listen to some books or whatever. And then I put a caveat on it. I was like, look, there's some books on there, and I don't think it's fair if you judge me for reading them. Because we've never talked about those. Those are books I don't talk about with other friends. I hadn't before this podcast. And so you started reading them, of course, because you immediately like, what book is she not wanting to read?
I'm going straight for them.
We started talking about them, and I realized, why don't we talk about our romance novels? Like, why was I, like, my best friend who we talk about all kinds of crap with, like, but for some reason I was embarrassed to have you read the romance novels that I had on my Audible, and I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. It should, yeah.
And I think there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot to be learned and gained from these books, and I think we should share them more and talk about them more. Like, I know so many women who exchange, you know, books, like, just like they move around my family, like tons of them, but none of them are romance.
Yeah.
They're all the mysteries, all of the Scott Brick and those kind of books that just keep circling, but they all read romance, they just keep them to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no, ladies, let's do that. Like, let's take some of that embarrassment out of this and talk about these, because they have a place, and I think that we need to bring that out into the open, like, normalize women's sexuality. Like, it doesn't need to be hidden and closeted.
Romance,
like, women can't be like that, you know?
Romance is bad. Why?
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Once again,
it's
about to populate the world. Where
it's relationships.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So.
And it's not, it's not just the sex, but I was the same way. I had all of my romance books in a bookshelf in my closet. And all the quote-unquote legitimate books were on the on display in the family room. And in fact, until a friend of mine, my friend Andy, was helping me move once, and he was like, I always claimed that I can tell what a person is like I can tell you who they are based on what they read. He was like, but I could not figure you out. And he's standing in my closet, and he goes, now I know. I was like, or like I read them constantly, like on planes and everything like that. And this is back in the day when you didn't have a Kindle and people could see the book cover and people could see the what it was called, the Shakes Mistress or whatever it would be. And I would make sure that it was lying flat so that people can, see it.
Yeah.
Or if people were like, what are you reading? I'd be like, trashy romance novel. It's not. This is some really well-written, not my stuff necessarily. I think it's good, but like really well-written books that there's epic qualities to them. There are, even in the contemporary romance space, you get these family sagas that go over generations, and they're fantastic. And why is that not just as legitimate as the mysteries or the sci-fis or the whatever? And, I know all my sci-fi friends who are strictly sci-fi would argue that sci-fi has the same problem in getting legitimized in the world of things. And I'm like, not as much since movies have legitimize that more.
TV shows and movies, like, it's
accepted.
All sci-fi.
Star Wars did it, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Star Wars did it.
And you're not going to sit there and read Star Wars like this.
No, you're going to be like,
you're
going to be on
your
Star Wars is on
the
cool. Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, right. My stuff's just as cool. Damn.
And it is. Kalina was like, "This, let's do." We were like, she explained to me what a podcast was. I didn't know what it was, and we were like, "Why don't we do this?"
Do it.
So we jumped right in. We had no idea what we were doing.
As you go.
But, yeah.
One year in,
I think we're
almost there.
Yeah. But I think the most beautiful thing about this whole thing is the relationship between Kalina and I. While we have always been really, we've been close. We clicked as soon as we met. In high school,
just instant friends.
We were instant friends. We play cards together like two old biddies. We just play like canasta with our other friend Emily, who we talk about all the time too. But finally, we're like, fuck it, let's just do it. We keep talking about all these ideas we've got
that we are really hilarious, we thought we should share that with the world. Our conversations are the best.
Yes.
Bonkers.
Someone should listen to them.
Yeah. So we just ran with it, and awesome. We thought we wanted to, because some people have asked us, why specifically paranormal? And we think, well, this is why. And they're like, why not just romance novels? And we're like, well, this is why. And it's because we wanted something a little bit more specific, plus they're fun. I've never read anything out of paranormal romance, so.
I have. Paranormal is where my comfort zone is because I like that extra remove.
Yeah.
I get a little uncomfortable in contemporary because it's too realistic. Like, I'm just like, no, those are real people. I'm like, where's my werewolf? You know? Like, yeah. So that it's just more comfort to me. But I think the fact that you've never read any, we should find a contemporary book. Maybe an Abigail Owen. Or Katie Scott.
Katie Scott. Mm-hmm. And all my different personalities.
And, you know, give it a shot. Because then you could have something to compare it to. There's so many subgenres of romance.
Sure.
And we just picked this one because it's fun. It's what I was already reading. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to narrow it down. Like, things you just have to narrow.
Well, each one is so different from the others. You know, with the paranormal. Paranormals are easier for me to put on the page because the conflict is inherent. It's already in there. It's it's like, well, there's dragon shifters and there's fire and they're trying to attack each other and they've got to figure out a relationship in the midst of that versus in the real world, I still think there's conflict in just the question of, are you right for me?
Mm-hmm.
There's conflict there, but there's not enough conflict in that question for readers. And so it's harder to write a contemporary romance because you don't want to go the route of soap operas where it's like, and oh my gosh, they're dying and all the, you know, just the melodrama. Mm-hmm. You want to get something that feels real, but at the same time isn't just that question, unfortunately. Because I still think that question that's plenty of conflict for me.
Yeah. Apparently
not for everybody else. And then you get the regencies where you get the added, you know, what are the norms of society at that time? And how do those restrictions impact relationships? Or, you know, arranged marriage was a very much a thing, especially in the nobility at that time. And that's and that is still a thing in some societies today. And that's a norm for them. And so how do you write those various different norms? And boy, you can go all sorts of other places.
Yeah.
Aliens, you know, getting into the more sci-fi space. Mm-hmm. You can go in the steampunk space and just completely different worlds, which are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And oh yeah, so much fun. Scottish, with the historical, you can go all over the world.
Well, great. We can start wrapping things up. But so, you got any final words? Anything you want to say? Anything you want to pitch? Go for it. It's all yours.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun, and I really enjoyed it. And, oh my gosh, just loved it. That was fun. I guess I'll pitch again that book two is coming out in April. I actually have a contemporary coming out in March. It's called Taming the Troublemaker. It's one of my cowboys. I think it's honestly the cutest couple I've ever written.
Oh.
He gets sprayed by a skunk and then arrested by his brother, the sheriff.
Okay, which one? That one? That's the contemporary we're going to read.
Taming the Troublemaker. Okay. That one's called. It's actually the third in the series, but those all stand completely apart. Not like these where they are all woven together, so you can read them completely out of order.
Awesome.
And so that comes out March 21st. And then, The Inferno Rising with the Rogue King is coming out August 27th. And that started all of these dragon shifters, that book, actually. I wrote it first. And originally, it was going to be a novella in a different series. And I was like, this is too big. I need it to be its own novel. And then I was like, I need this to be its own series, which turned into I need two series to cover everything.
Nice.
My editor calls it Game of Thrones, modern-day Game of Thrones meets J.R. Ward's Black Dagger Brotherhood.
Wow.
Is how she describes it. And so that's what I've got coming. That's this year.
Awesome.
And then we just keep going.
Yeah. Great. Well, yeah. Thank you so much. We've enjoyed this too. I think we were real nervous. Obviously, it's our first author, and you know, we're in a foreign city. Like, it's just
where are we?
I didn't drive that. I was like, Kalina, what's happening? So thank you for welcoming us and agreeing to come on this journey with us. And
thanks.
We can't wait to get back into the rest of the series. And it's just been wonderful.
Well, so I hope you have me on again. This was fun.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well,
yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how to sign off on this one.
All right.
Well, that was fun.
We are back home now.
We're back in Denver. We wanted to wrap up our episode with Abigail, kind of do a quick rating and let you know what our next book's going to be. But we had such a good time in Austin and a good time with our first ever interview.
Yes.
So hopefully you guys enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, and I apologize for any mishaps with the recording. That was a really big, echoey room. So
yeah, we were recording at a library.
Yeah.
And while it was a small room, it was a tall.
It was very, everything there was really tall.
In Austin was very tall.
The little apartment we stayed in there was like the tallest
building. I swear they were
building.
Like 20 feet. Ceilings,
we
20 foot ceilings.
On the first floor, it wasn't like we were on the very top where it's like vaulted or
and
anything. No.
Walking down the hallways, I was like, what is, what giants live here?
Everybody wants tall ceilings here. But anyway, Austin was good to us, so no complaints here.
No. You know, so, but yeah, if the recording's not our best, sorry.
Yes.
That's why.
apologize.
You know. We weren't in our normal space.
Yeah.
But we would like to come back and kind of tell you how what we thought of The Boss.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't gather from the interview, we loved it.
We didn't pick that up right away.
I think that was pretty clear.
My favorite dragons.
Oh, fucking hands down.
We haven't come across any dragons I haven't liked, but these ones were my favorite.
I think the thing that really kicks it up for me, the thing I like the most is, and I don't know that we touched on it too much in the episode, but the dragons, once they mate, the women become shifters themselves.
Yes.
They become their own dragons.
Yeah.
And so it kind of takes that, like, you know, as much as I loved, and Deborah Cook's dragons got me into these books.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was my original, that's my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about they live their life as women, like as human women still, they're still so fragile and they can get taken away all the time and they're endangered, whereas these women get to become powerful creatures all in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I want to be a dragon too.
Well, and there's still something special about Delaney that we haven't really figured out yet. I don't think they're still, right? Isn't there something
I think, like, that's going to speak to the changes that are happening in dragon society.
Yeah.
Kind of all of the old ways seem to be kind of crumbling. And maybe in the future books, we kind of get an expansion on that.
I think.
Abigail Hinton.
Yes,
that maybe
I think
we
she did.
So
it was brilliantly laid out.
So both book and sex scenes get high ratings from me. I think like nines.
Oh, nines. Both.
Easily.
Both the storyline and
sex. It was engaging. The story was there. The plot, the, like, you know, but it wasn't, sometimes we get a couple of these books that are like kind of confusing because you can tell the plot maybe was like retrofitted into the story,
sure.
Or, you know, to be like, oh, I need to make it do something.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the case here. So, you know, it keeps you engaged the whole time. Even the parts that aren't sexy are fun to read and you're like, want to know more. And the action is great. The dragon flying, attacking.
Yeah.
So I give it nines across the board.
Dragon flying attack.
Well, you know, you should have seen the hand gestures for that sentence.
Oh, it's awesome. Well, cool. I'm glad that happened and that we had the opportunity for that. So yeah, nines, guys.
Nines. Read these books.
Read these books. Then, like she said, the next one comes out in April.
Yeah, the second book of this series is in April. And then the first book in the tandem series.
The Rogue King. Yeah.
That comes out in August. So
yeah,
go get them. Read them.
Get
love them.
Yeah.
Follow Abigail. Okay. Yeah. So next episode, we will be back to regularly scheduled programming.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, no more fun interviews for a while.
Not for a while.
But we'll be reading Claimed by Her Cougar and Captured by Her Cougar by Felicity Heaton. They're the first two in her, I want to say, Cougar Creek series.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think is the name of that, but it could also not be that.
Sorry.
Let's just say
I don't have it in front of me.
Really?
But it is still, so there's like a foursome that she, like a four books about cougars.
Yes. Four brothers.
And so, yeah, we're going to get the first two, they're quick audiobooks, so we decided to do two at once instead of just one 4-hour book for an episode.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be enough. But so join us for that, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
In the meantime, please reach out, engage with us on social media. We are Sturdy Books at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All of those are with three H's.
And please go to our website at sturdybooks.com and find us on iTunes. Please give us some ratings. We're really trying to get out there.
We love some iTunes ratings.
Yeah, that would be really good. We're on SoundCloud, Google Play, anywhere you would find podcasts. We're being reached out by all these authors, and Abigail being one of the first. And we think we're heading the right way, so we really would like you guys to come on this adventure with us. It has been so much fun. And
apparently ratings is the way to do
it. Yes.
iTunes ratings. No one gives a fuck about anything.
I don't know if you can get a rating anywhere else. I don't know. You can rate our website.
I'm sure on SoundCloud you can, can't you?
I know you can like it.
That's true.
I don't know if you can.
I don't understand all of it.
I still don't know.
But or if you just want to reach out to us, you can email us directly and, you know, not go through all that social media stuff. And that's sturdybooks@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Also, we just created a Goodreads group. So if you're into Goodreads and you want to join our group, and we're not sure what we're going to do with it yet.
So far, we've just listed all the episodes that we've already released, and we're going to continually do that as we release episodes. And
but ideally, I think it could be a place for some like extra dialogue, like if you guys have questions or want to say something about one of our recordings, and you know, like talk more about in depth about a particular book, come talk to us there.
Yeah,
you know, Goodreads is where people who love books go.
Yeah, absolutely. And the group is called We're Reading Dirty Books because we're not original or anything else but that. So
why would we want to make confusing things like renaming new shit? That'd be dumb. So
just
look
for my face on everything.
Yes, basically. See, let's lips. That's us. All right, guys. It's been a good episode.
Yes. All right, thanks, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Galena and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Get some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy music and amazing introduction.